I was blessed by the devotional meditation. The challenge to give. It's better to give than to receive. This morning, my message is on something we receive. I don't think we need to be ashamed of it. Something we receive at the hand of God. That's security. My message title this morning is Safe in God. The second song that we sang, and I keep getting mixed up with Safe in the Arms of Jesus, I don't even remember which title it was, but talked about being safe. Talked about being safe because of what God does for us. We live in a world today that is very concerned. Concerned about various things. And the burden of the message this morning is that we can find our security in God. Whether it be security on a natural front or whether it be security on a spiritual front, assurance of salvation, our security is in God. I'm just going to briefly, for the first part of the message, lay out some of the concerns that the world is spending a lot of time on. I just saw somebody's blog online that had 15 concerns that they thought summarized the world's problems today. And you know, the depravity of man was not one of those concerns. I just listed a couple of them here. Our natural resources are being depleted. Their concern is that we're taking more from the earth than the earth is producing. The climates are changing. They talked about global warming and greenhouse gas emissions and things like that. That will forever set the earth into a different climate, so they said. Another concern was that the earth is overpopulating. There are just too many humans for the earth to support. Now, these did not come from this blog, but these two here are some that I believe are an underlying heart cry of many of these people. What if there is a God? What if there is a God? What if after death I don't die like a dog? I think that's why they are so concerned about the depletion of the earth. That's why they're so concerned about setting a course here for humanity. Going into the second point of the message, you can look in your Bibles a while, Luke chapter 16. But we're looking at worldviews. You know, there's one worldview that things came into existence of their own, and man has to sustain it. There is another worldview that all things were created by a natural being. He will sustain it, and we need to find a place in his plan. And I don't think I have you guessing that the second one is my worldview. I believe it's a biblical worldview. Luke 16, we're going to read a very familiar account here. Chapter 16, verses 19 to 25. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Okay. This account, I believe, is a real account of two people that existed. Jesus does not say it was a parable. He says there was these two people. So let's take a look at what these people did. The rich man's goal was to propagate his life on earth. We can see that by his actions. He fared sumptuously, and he didn't care much how it affected the beggar right outside of his door. So that was life. The next thing I want to see is there is an afterlife. In the worldview of being a creator, we have to accept that there was life before us and that there is life after earth perishes. And it goes on to say what these places were. There was a heaven, and there was a hell. There was only two places. It goes on to say that these places were eternal. That where the rich man was, he was going to stay. And where Lazarus was, he was going to stay. So we need to conclude that life is our chance to gain our desired eternal destiny. Life is the window of choice. After death, neither the rich man nor Lazarus had choice, I believe. But Lazarus didn't care. For the rich man, that was torment. The other one thing I want to look at, I just want to pick out two verses here, and we could go through a lot of scriptures for some of these thoughts, but I'm going to cover it rather quickly. John chapter 14, verse 27. I'm looking at, I've titled the point, There Are God Deposits in This Life. In other words, there's things we receive in this life at the hand of God. John 14:27 says, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, in this life, God gives us peace with Him. And that's an unconditional provision. It doesn't matter what happens in our life. We can have peace with God. I should clarify, I say unconditional. God will give it as long as we walk in His way. What I mean by unconditional is that circumstances in life cannot take away a peace in a relationship with God. Now, Luke 10, verse 27, I want to look at another aspect here. This is the lawyer that came to Jesus tempting him. He asked him the question, what should I do to inherit eternal life? I'm going to start with verse 26. He, that is Jesus, said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. One of the God deposits in life is love among fellow men. Now, this one we can't say is unconditional, because each man has a choice whether he's going to love the other man or not. We each have that choice that we need to make. And as we look at this, the results of love one for another, you know, that brings peace on a level of man to man. But we have to love. In fact, sometimes we can love someone else and they don't love in return. So as long as we live in a fallen earth with a fallen nature, there will be a struggle here because people are not practicing God's plan for their lives. The next point I want to look at here under the theme of safe in God is false assurance. And I'm back in the account of Luke 16. We notice here in verse 24 that the rich man addressed Abraham as Father Abraham. I believe this man was a Jewish man. I believe he was living with a false assurance that his heritage would get him through to glory. He thought that since he was one of the chosen family of God, one of the special people to God, that was his ticket to glory. And you know, that can happen today. We can trust that if I appear right, if I manage to gain membership in the church, that will be my ticket to glory. We're looking at false assurances. While these things can be helps, they're not our ticket to glory. Second point. This rich man was probably saying he was blessed in material goods. You know, sometimes we mistake. Sometimes people mistake a well-functioning business or prosperity in other means as God's blessing, as God's smile of approval in their lives. I think these things can be a blessing of God, but again, we do not have a guarantee that this is God's smile of approval just because we are materially blessed. In fact, the Bible tells us other places that God sends his rain upon the just and the unjust. It tells us that how hardly shall a rich man enter into heaven. So these things can be a blessing from God, but they come with a very serious responsibility. They cannot be our assurance that we are okay with God. The other thing I read into this passage, and maybe this is a bit of an assumption, But this rich man probably kept a lot of the law. He was probably morally okay. He probably was not a murderer. Probably not a thief. But that was not sufficient to get him through. In hell, he thought about his five brethren, and we actually did not read that verse. But as we go into verse, actually, let's read those verses now. Verses 27 to 31. This is Abraham. I'm sorry. First of all, we have the rich man responding to Abraham when Abraham told him that he cannot provide anything for him because there's a gulf between them that nobody can pass. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So, we have here Abraham clearly saying, if what we have in this life is not enough to bring ourselves to grips with our relationship before God, nothing's enough. The rich man thought if somebody went back from the dead and prophesied to his brothers that they would change. And Abraham said, no, it would not work that way. They already have the law. They have the prophets. They have it all written down that they can read and they can know. There's no guesswork. They know that if they choose their own course, they will not gain the desired destination of heaven. I have just a little made-up story here that I'm going to give here just to help us illustrate some of these points in a natural way. ABC Plumbing is a small business run by Mark. He's a one-man shop. He takes his own calls. He does his own work. And he has a lot of clientele that really appreciate what he does. But he's not keeping after, so he starts hiring. The first hire is Bill. And he comes to the business straight from Votech school. He has it all learned. He has it all figured out. And Mark observed that he was a quick worker. Now, remember Mark's in the office, taking his calls, Bill's on the job. He's not seeing everything that's happening there. One of the things that was happening was when you get one of these famous packages from Home Depot and discover once you got there that it was actually opened. And some of the little pieces are missing, some of the washers and things like that. He didn't feel like making a trip back to Home Depot to fix a drain or whatever it was, so, you know, a little more Teflon tape or something. Who needs a washer? He didn't mind taking breaks on company time to chat or to text friends on his phone. And if you could have listened to him talking to the people that did pass through, It was often about being overworked or underpaid. One thing Bill was very good at was seeing when the boss came on site. Whenever the boss came on site, he was working furiously. However, he did have a little struggle. The boss wasn't there. Homeowners came around. It kind of irritated him. He did not like to have people watch him working. The business kept growing, so now Mark hires Joe. Joe joins the team. He had worked on his dad's general contracting crew as a plumber for a number of years. He kind of grew up with it. He wasn't licensed. So he is actually apprenticing under Bill. He was more slow and methodical. He got his joints together. He always tested them as he went, made sure the work was done right. If the piece wasn't an exact fit or had something missing, he took the time to make a run to the supply house to correct it. He was not the kind of fellow that was pulling out his phone during the day to keep up contact with his personal friends. In fact, many times when the boss came, he was so absorbed in his work, he never even saw him coming. But when he realized he was there, that was his time to take a few minutes to chat with the boss and talk about how things were going. And Joe was also very gifted at chatting with the homeowners as they came around while keeping at his work. Now, jumping ahead, 3 months later, Mark starts getting phone calls from customers about leaking drains and other plumbing issues. What's happening? 6 months later, Mark is still getting calls from rather irate customers. They're chewing him out for the poor quality of work his company does. So Mark pays attention. He starts to hear Bill complaining about lousy plumbing fittings, grumbling about the work. So he talks to Bill. 9 months later, Mark calls Bill into the office and fires him. Now Mark has a problem. His office, he's again understaffed. But he has to go out to the job with Joe, because remember, Joe is not licensed. But he observes the work that Joe is doing and realizes that none of the troubles came from Joe's work. He sees how diligent he is. Joe follows instructions well. And he doesn't have to come back with his better ideas. 12 months later, Joe receives a significant pay raise, and Mark gives him an offer that his little plumbing shop will get him licensed. Now, what does this have to do with our lives before God? Today is a window of time where we are establishing our course for the future, eternally. Not just for a job career, but our eternal future. There are things that we can do in this life and fool men and give ourselves false assurance that we have the blessing of God. Or we can be a Joe and we can follow the rules. We can seek out what our master wants of us and we can follow those rules. We can follow that course. At the beginning of the hire, which man had the most promise? I guess it could be argued either way. But you know, Bill had a lot of promise. He was licensed. He came out of school. He had fresh practice. In hands-on school labs. Joe was just... He didn't have any formal training per se. But you know, he had. As time went on, it became obvious that he had the qualities that counted. The willingness to follow the instructions. The diligence to do it right. And my question is, what are we doing in our lives? Are we winging it? And saying, if enough of the right people smell on me, I must be okay? Or am I developing a growing walk with God because of my desire to serve and please Him? Next main part of the message is the basis for assurance. I don't think we're going to take time to page to any scriptures in this section here. The basis for assurance. Did I receive Jesus into my heart? Now, that's the number one question. Is Jesus in my heart? Number two, is my faith in God? Am I trusting God to take me through, or am I trusting in my own power, my own merits? Number three, am I claiming the promises of God? And as we go through the scriptures, there is promise after promise of God's favor on His children, God's favor on the one that walks after Him, God's favor on the heart that seeks Him with all diligence. Number four, God's power to keep us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that there's no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. It goes on to tell us that it's God's faithfulness that makes us overcomers. You know, God is the one that has the power to take us through. Okay, next main point of the message is conditions for assurance. I'm going to read a couple of verses on this. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There is a condition that needs to be met. And it's not just simply a verbal profession of the name Jesus. These people were doing that. But we need to do the Father's will. He says here, not everyone that saith, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Colossians 1, 21 to 23 says this, Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Contrary to what many Christians today are saying, we need to continue in what we started. Not only is it accepting Jesus into my life, but it is continuing the journey that got me to that point. So another condition for assurance is continuance, keeping on, faithfully sticking at it. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 11. According as his divine power hath given unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you in abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So one of the key things I see in these verses, it actually brings out the idea of continuance, but fruitfulness. There needs to be growth. There needs to be a course that is growing more and more. The fruit of the Spirit, you should see more of it. The virtues listed here, you should see more and more of them. And he says, if we do this, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Next main point of the message is the assurance, and this goes into that one. You shall abundantly receive the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not a matter of you just so got it. It's not a matter that God says, I have a little bit for you, but you shall abundantly receive the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was blessed by that thought. I'm going to turn to John 10, read a couple verses there yet. Going to read John 10, verses 27 to 29. Jesus is talking, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. The assurance. Jesus knows us. If somebody knocks on my door and asks to be left in, if I know them, they will not be denied entrance. Now, I've taken strangers in too. But there's a different relationship level there. I do not feel at all alarmed when somebody that I know comes and just walks in. I would feel very alarmed if the stranger did that. The other thing I see here, no one can pluck us out of his hand. Isn't that security? If you live your life in the hand of God, absolutely no one can take you from God's hand. And I was really blessed by that thought. Today we can be safe in God. We can know Jesus. We can know we have eternal life. And nobody can take us from his hand. So as you go through your week, as the devil throws his darts of doubt at you, just remember that God cares about you. And as you walk in his way, you are safe in his hands. Let's kneel for prayer.